dear parishioners of the Mount, I asked Father Casimir permission to give the sermon here this morning for the purpose of presenting to you, for your information, a project that we have going on here at the Mount. But I'd like to begin with at least a few brief comments for the Feast of St. Matthew, an important feast day because he is one of the four evangelists. Of course, St. Matthew wrote the first gospel, the first book of the New Testament, and he wrote it in particular for the conversion of his fellow Hebrews. St. Matthew quotes from the Old Testament as much as all the other three gospels put together, because he wanted to show them that our Lord fulfilled the prophecies and truly was the Messiah. The epistle mentions a vision of Ezekiel the prophet in the Old Testament. Ezekiel lived during the time of the Babylonian captivity of the Jews, and he had this vision of four living creatures. The face of one was a man, and a lion, an eagle, an ox. And according to commentators, the face of the man was that signified St. Matthew's gospel, because he wrote, or I should say the beginning of his gospel is the genealogy of our Lord, the human ancestry of our Lord. And so the face of a man. The face of an ox signified Luke, who opens his gospel with the story of Zachary sacrificing in the temple. And the face of a lion, St. Mark, who begins his gospel with the story of St. John the Baptist, who lived in the desert, the dwelling place of lions. And of course, St. John the eagle, flying over the others, because his gospel especially delves deeply into the divinity of our Lord. We should be very grateful to these four men for taking up pen and writing down the life of our Lord and his words, his teaching. So we owe a lot to the evangelists. And not only in Ezekiel do we find this mentioned, but also in the Apocalypse, the last book of the Bible, St. John in his vision saw a vision of the four living creatures in heaven about the throne of God. So, brief comment on St. Matthew, whose feast takes preference over the Sunday today. But again, I want to explain a project which is a construction of a new chapel down at the rectory. Now, 5 years ago, when we all survived the restrictions of COVID, it was necessary to have Mass in a number of different places, down at the grotto, I think, even Masses down in the dining room, etc. And the priests here having multiple Masses because they couldn't have too many people, according to government restrictions, in the chapel at one time. So there were Masses down at the rectory, and I know a number of you attended Mass there. I came once on business to take care of coming up from the City of Mary, and I went down to the rectory, and there was a Mass in progress, and the chapel was full. I was kind of surprised, a lot of people there attending Mass. I think that was a helpful for those elderly people that don't want to negotiate steps, because here at the Mount, even with the wonderful parking right outside for handicap parking on the side here, and an elevator, you still have to negotiate the last few steps or ramp to get up into the chapel. So that was helpful to the elderly attending Mass down there. And I think there would be more Masses if there was a priest that was able to do so. At any rate, we have for some time considered building a separate chapel. That building down there, which was originally built as a convent nearly 40 years ago, I think it was started in 1987, finished in 88, thereabouts, was built as a convent. And the original design was a cruciform structure with four buildings joined by a walkway and a courtyard in the middle. Only one of the four buildings was ever built. So a chapel was in the plans to be built down there. And we have for nearly 40 years had a temporary chapel that's really part of the community room with an accordion sliding door and really not a fitting chapel in a religious house. So the plan is to build again a separate chapel down there. And some may ask, well, why? You've got a chapel there. We have this beautiful chapel here at the Mount. So why put the money in and the effort and the time and build a separate chapel down at the rectory? I'll try to explain why. I think it would be difficult for you, lay people and sisters, to fully understand. Sisters would understand better. But the rectory is, of course, a priest's and brother's residence. And it is also a retirement home for the congregation. But that's where we gather when we have a chapter meeting like we did this last summer. Or we have a priest meeting like we do every year in January, sometimes other times. We gather in the rectory, and it's a little disheartening to go in for the opening ceremonies of the general chapter and high mass, to go into this very small chapel that, again, was never meant to be a permanent chapel. Now, we took possession of Mount St. Michael in 1978. I still remember the move, the big move from Coeur d'Alene, where our boys' schools were, and our seminary. Most of our brothers, priests, lived in Coeur d'Alene. The move to the Mount, it took us 3 days to get all set up for school, and we worked, had a special work schedule, didn't get much sleep, working to get everything moved in here. And the Mount was a men's domain. We had priests and brothers, we had about 30 brothers living here at that time. We had boys boarding, boys schools. We even had some laymen living at the Mount. So it was a men's domain. That was in 1978. In 1989, His Excellency moved the seminary, for good reasons, from the Mount to Omaha. The Mount was becoming such a busy place, and we felt that it was detrimental to the formation of future priests to be constantly pulled to here to do this, to do that, and the Mount was just so busy. So the seminary was moved to Omaha in 1989, and obviously our numbers here, priests and brothers, those of us who lived here, were much smaller. And as priests were ordained and sent out to staff different parishes, there were even fewer. So finally in 1995, His Excellency made the decision, appropriate decision, to give the Mount to the sisters. The sisters were coming here to teach, to work in the print shop, or for other reasons, and they would have to travel every day from Mount St. Joseph out in Colbert, or from the City of Mary, or from a convent on the South Hill, which is eventually sold when that convent was built, what is now the rectory, but they still had to travel. So it made sense, with their larger numbers, to let the sisters have the Mount. And then we took over the rectory, what was a convent and is now St. Michael's Rectory. So that is a brief explanation why, how that became our residence. But as I mentioned, it's a little disheartening when we have ceremonies and events like the general chapter, and we have this temporary chapel that wasn't meant to be a permanent chapel. So the plan again is to build a separate chapel that will be connected by a corridor to the main rectory. It will be there for the priests and the brothers who live there to say their daily prayers, their community prayers, and so forth, and visits to the Blessed Sacrament. And it will also be a public chapel whenever a mass is scheduled there. And again, the nice thing will be you won't even have to go up even one step. It'll be all flat on level for those elderly people that's more difficult. But that, of course, will depend on having enough priests to be able to provide a mass down there. Now, obviously, to build a chapel, a sizable chapel, an appropriate chapel, is going to cost money. I don't feel right and asking you, parishioners of the Mount, to support this, to contribute, because you've already been generous and have supported so many projects here. The portico project was a big project, cost a lot of money, and the parishioners here were very generous in donating. All of that was covered by donations. I just will say, if you wish to contribute to this project, obviously we're going to need financial help to build it. But You should not take away from your tithe or your support of the parish here to contribute to that. That would be something extra for those who wish to do it. But to help with that, we have stained glass windows in the chapel. And I didn't bring the list up here with me. There are 13 windows of saints, and then there is a window of the Sacred Heart, Christ as King and Mary as Queen. And those stained glass windows are being made from scratch. So I had a company make stained glass windows for our church at the City of Mary when we remodeled the church 6 years ago. And I was very satisfied, am very satisfied with the work, with the company. So I engaged the same company to make the windows for our new chapel at the rectory. And what we're going to do for someone who will sponsor a window, donate a window, and they're very pricey, I should warn you, $24,000 per window. And the two bigger windows of Jesus and Mary, Sacred Heart of Jesus, Immaculate Heart of Mary, are $32,000. Now, if someone wants to sponsor a window, someone is able to and wishes to do so, we would inscribe that donor's name on the window, on the lower part, the venting part. So like these windows here at the Mount, you have a section you open for air. These windows also will have a venting portion towards the bottom, and there's a space there to put in the message. It could be pray for the John Smith family, or in memory of a departed person. So maybe two families would want to combine and sponsor a window. So that's one way that we would help to support the chapel, at least pay for the windows. So after Mass, I'm going to be downstairs with one of the brothers in the foyer, right down below, close to the convent door there where there's a desk, and I will have the artistic renderings of all the windows, and you see the saints that we're going to have, and other information on the chapel, a visual of what the chapel will look like, etc. So if anyone would like to support it or would be interested in sponsoring a window, you'd have that opportunity. But above all, I would like to ask for your prayers. This project started 2 years ago, and we have had problem after problem to surmount, trials in getting to this point, but we're finally ready to get the project off the ground. So we ask your prayers for a successful completion of this project, and that somehow, some way, we will be able to find the finances to complete it. Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.